I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
This is Ryan Wiggins filling in for Annie Fry. She'll be back on Monday. She is in D.C. doing a tour of the nation's capital, but we'll be back, of course, like I said, on Monday. We haven't mentioned today's Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll, but man, has it generated some discussion. So here it is, real short. Buffets, great or gross? And I like the passion with which people are answering this question, because it's not just like a click. It's you're leaving a comment and you are passionate.
There's not a lot of middle ground.
No, there really isn't. Although some people, I would say that if there is a middle ground, it's that some people saying, I've had gross ones, but the great ones are great, and then voting great. So keep them coming. We're also going to do Ask Me Anything here in a few minutes. So if you have a question for me or Brad, we will take those in the next segment for Ask Me Anything. Right now, though, we have a segment called What Did I Miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
All right, so this is the cuts of audio that didn't make the show over the week. And Ryan, have I got a lot here, because our guest hosts don't use as much audio as Annie does.
So you have more left over.
I've got more left over and
good,
like,
stuff.
Good stuff to
not
to
the
do.
Junk, not the crap. Cut the crap.
Listen, I don't pull bad audio.
Fine.
I pull amazing and great audio.
To be determined.
All right. So the first thing I wanted to do was, is I don't know if you know this or not, but Biden did an interview real quick with, I forget if it was CBS. I think it was CBS.
I saw him do one with CNN recently.
CNN. Okay. That's who it was. And so he made a claim, and I'm just going to go ahead and play that one here.
Well, so, but I mean, no president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%. But
so he makes the claim that whenever he took office, it was 9%. Now, CNN did not push back on that at all. However, ABC did fact check him on that, and this is what they said.
Inflation was actually 1.4% when Biden was sworn in, peaking at 9.1% in June 2022.
Oh, man, America's salivating at a 1.4 inflation rate. gosh, that's that clip. I heard that clip, so I didn't know that was one of them you're playing today. I saw that clip where he says inflation was 9% when I took office.
Come on, man.
It really made me think that he probably was told facts and jumbled them up. This didn't seem like a Joe Biden lie. Like, I'm going to try to spread that it was 9% when I came into office. It was like it was getting all messed up in his head. And he probably had the fact that, hey, here's what he probably meant to say. Here's what we have to do for the president of the United States on a conservative talk station. That 9% is kind of where it peaked, which isn't even true, but that would be the talking point. It's like, hey, it was at 9%. We've brought it down to now 3 or 4%. My guess is that that was what he was told to say, and that it got all messed up, and he went, well, it was 9% when I came into office, and just blew right, didn't even realize
it. And the person doing the interview didn't say, wait, when you took office, it was actually at XYZ. It wasn't that high, because like they said in that fact check, it peaked later on.
Even if you're the interviewer and you didn't have that fact at the ready, you still would go, hey, it wasn't at 9% when you took. You don't have to know the number to know that that was not true.
And if you're right and he just kind of jumbled some facts up, he would have the opportunity to go,
exactly.
But would he have?
They don't push him at all.
And that's frustrating.
Because his team goes, don't you dare push back or you'll never get another interview. And they're like, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to hear another Biden clip?
Let's just keep
going. I got one here that's a teleprompter error.
My theology professor at the Catholic school I went to was a guy named Riley, last name. And he had been drafted by the Green Bay Packers. And he decided to become a priest before that, so he didn't go. But every single solitary Monday that Green Bay won, we got the last period of the day off.
I don't know if any of that's true, but the whole time I'm listening to it, if I'm in the audience, I'm going, this sounds like corn pop. he was a priest, but he used to play for the Green Bay Packers.
He had opportunity to Green Bay Packers.
I was a truck driver for a number of years.
Monday off when the Packers won. His name was father last name.
Was there a fact check on any of that? It's the father last name that's the funny
part. The father last name. They were telling him in the teleprompter that Riley was his last name.
Father Riley last name.
Father. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. And then I don't know if you saw this or not, but Biden awarded Nancy Pelosi the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
You know, before we move on, they have got to stop writing that stuff in his teleprompter. Just write Father Riley. Like, you don't need to let him know that that's the last name. They've got to know that these are problems. Yeah.
He really is Ron Burgundy from Anchorman.
Yes.
He will read anything.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
He will read anything that they put on that teleprompter. Like, I've never had to read off a teleprompter, but it is my understanding that, like, when they say last name or pause or whatever the instructions are, they're, like, in brackets. So you go, brackets aren't something I usually see in a sentence. Maybe I shouldn't read that. And it's... like, the idea he's just plowing through it.
Look, I used to write teleprompter stuff.
Okay.
And actually, I've done both sides of it. So when I was doing Songstage, I would stand on a literal stage in front of a very big audience and read from a giant... it was the biggest teleprompter I've ever seen, because it was in a theater, and it had the camera was way in the back, and so they had to have this giant screen that I could see. And then, of course, I'm, like, ad-libbing half of it anyway, because that's what I do. But it would, like, a bunch of bullet points to give me a reminder that you got to say this, you got to keep it moving. But when you write into a teleprompter, which I also did, you put instructions in brackets or you put them in italics or something. And it's pretty common. And when you read off of teleprompters enough, it becomes pretty natural. But it has never become natural for him.
Yeah. I mean, would you say it's difficult to read off a teleprompter or no?
If you do it a few times, it becomes pretty easy. In fact, they make it with the new teleprompters now. They didn't have these when I was doing it, and that was just less than 10 years ago. They have flat screens that sit right in front of your camera, which everybody's probably seen these from presidential speeches.
Angled down.
Yeah, they're angled down. You could barely see that they're even there. They're almost like fully transparent, that if you're in the audience, you can see through it to see the president. Like, they're that good at technology. But you get used to it, and that's why you see Trump, he's leaning to one side, he leans to the other side. Well, it's because he's looking at those teleprompters. And he does it where he kind of takes suggestions. It keeps him on track.
Yeah.
And that's the way I do it too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's head up to Michigan.
I didn't mean to derail the
no,
next
that's,
one.
No, that's all right. Okay. But I was just thinking about it. Let's head up to Michigan and see what this young voter says about voting for Biden.
Back in November, big reservations about the president's age, but zero doubt if the choice was Biden or Trump.
I'd go Biden.
Now, not so sure.
No matter how many Taylor Swift references you make, you'll never understand us. My thing is, I think he has handled everything with Israel and Palestine terribly.
Still leaning Biden, but part of a consequential debate with friends.
A lot of our generation is also considering going third party, but I kind of fear it's going to split up the votes and end up having it fall back on Trump, which I wouldn't want to happen.
So this young voter here is saying that the pandering that the Biden administration is trying isn't working. And
yeah, I mean, is it he or she?
She.
She. And do you know how old she is?
She
would have been 4 years younger when she did it the first time.
Probably mid to late 20s.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't think that, because when I heard her talk, I was thinking this was going to be like a kid, like a 12-year-old kid. Yeah. But then you're like, well, the Israeli-Palestine protest. I'm like, I don't think maybe.
Is Biden going to lose Michigan?
I don't know. Michigan, to me, and Pennsylvania both are, they're polling better than the other northern Midwestern states, but I have more hope in Wisconsin than I do Michigan, just because you see that state flip back and forth a lot more than you do Michigan. And Michigan, Detroit is dirty.
Yeah.
And so is Philadelphia for Pennsylvania. So those two states make me nervous about the Democrat machine and the deep blue areas that, you know, you have almost no Republicans watching over. Whereas Wisconsin's a little more spread out. I'm not saying like there's nothing happening in Milwaukee or Madison, but that state just, and they've passed a lot of election integrity reform in Wisconsin that they haven't in other states. So I still don't know about Michigan. If he wins, I'll say this, if he wins Michigan, he's going to win a whole lot of states. Because if that one goes red, it's over.
Trump's going to win Michigan.
If Trump does.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So you're saying Michigan's still leaning blue.
I'm saying that the polling is good, but that state makes me more nervous than other states.
So in that, you catch the wedge issue, which is Israel and Palestine. And so Biden has a big problem. And I got one more. I have two more cuts for you. But this one here I wanted to play. Michael Rappaport has officially unendorsed Biden.
Smoking Joe Biden. Cadaver Joe Biden. You know who I am. You know my work. I'm the one who came up with, I'm the one who invented stain Donald Trump. Pig Donald Trump. That's me. That's my work. I didn't ask for a thank you. I didn't ask for an invite to the White House, and everybody and anybody shows up at the White House these days. I did it for the love. I did it for the love, because I couldn't stand that and you dumb old you have the you bet old you. You're not sending weapons to Israel during a war while American hostages and hostages from 22 countries are still in that You're not sending
Michael
weapons
Rappaport-y.
Now, you dumb you. Let me tell you something. I never, ever, ever thought I would say this, okay? But I could promise you this right now. Smoking Joe Biden, cadaver Joe Biden, me, Michael Rappaport, I'm not voting for you. You're not getting my vote. And plenty of us also ain't voting for you, you f*** you. I said it once.
Well, I'm thankful that you edited out the word farts, because that would have been super offensive.
Lots of those.
On your last day at 97.1, just go ahead and play the unedited audio. Man, Michael Rappaport's weird because he is a guy that everybody knows, and he is loud, and every time he's talking, he kind of gives the impression that he's like, I don't even want to be doing this. You're like, dude, you make videos where you're staring at your camera.
He's like, I did this, and I didn't even get a thank you.
Yeah, like, come on.
Yes, you do want to do this.
We're all talking about you. You put yourself in the news. But yeah, he's been an interesting guy. You talk about that wedge issue. It is a wedge issue. It's not for most of the people that I talk to. We're all kind of, there's some uniformity in what we believe about it. But for enough of even if it's just a percentage or two of people, it matters.
Well, the margins in 2020 were so razor thin
were.
That this issue is enough to throw an election one way or the other.
And since we were talking about that very thing, I read an article today that I was like, oh, yeah, I've kind of forgot about that. If he had won, they went through the different states that Trump lost in 2020, that if he won this year, because of the electoral map, like the electoral votes have been reapportioned after the census. Well, it actually benefits Trump just a little bit that if he wins certain states, mm-hmm. he'll win overall that he wouldn't have in 2020.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
All right. I got one more here for you. This is Josh Ocean. He's a stand-up comic, and he found out that somebody in his audience works for the Biden administration.
Nick, what do you do for a living now? You work for the Biden administration. Is your job to wake them up, or what's your job? There's a war. Okay, what do you do for the Biden administration? What a show of a job you have. I can't believe you admitted that in front of all these people. You have the freedom to lie. You could have said you were a hooker and I would have been proud of you. What do you do?
I travel to southern states.
I travel to southern states.
You go to the south and try to sell them on Biden? What the are you talking about? That's your job? You say, oh, hey, listen, I know you guys like Trump, but Biden, I mean, wow. Are you ready to be unemployed, or what's your vibe?
Unless they're sending him to Georgia, they really are saying, hey, why don't you go do the job that nobody else wants to do? We don't really have a whole lot of trust in you. Who is this comic?
That is Josh Ocean.
Do we know that? Is he openly conservative? Or?
I don't know. I just think that that's where we are in comedy. It's a good spot to make fun of people. So,
who was the comedian that was just walking through here that everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's in Deadpool?
TJ
Miller?
TJ Miller, yeah.
TJ Miller was just here. Okay, cool. Well, comedians, as Annie often says, America will be saved from the pulpit and from the comedian's stage, whatever that's called, the brick backdrop. Thanks for listening. I'm doing her proud. Hey, this is the Annie Fry Show. Brad and Ryan filling in today. Hey, we've said this before, but we'll say it again. Ask me anything. Thanks for the questions. If you have anything that you want to ask Brad or I, hashtag AMA on the Annie Fry Show chat, and we'll get to those next here on the Annie Fry Show.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
Well, this is the part where you can ask us whatever you want, and thanks for asking tons and tons of questions. We'll get to as many of them as we can here, but I'm going to start. What is your favorite conspiracy theory, Brad?
So mine is almost a tie between two of them. And I look at conspiracy theories a little differently than other people. I see most of them, almost all of them, as bunk. I'm not a conspiracy theorist per se, but I like...
You start from the skeptic standpoint.
Yes.
Well, I think that's the healthy place to start.
And I like to look at them and say, okay, let me see if I can debunk this,
yeah,
this conspiracy theory. Because usually a really good conspiracy theory has like one logical...
Yeah.
Like very simple logical question that you're missing.
The ones that last usually have something in them too that is true.
Yes.
It may not all be true, but there might be a sliver in there that you're like, well, if we can discern what this is, I'll pull this part out.
Yeah. So for me, the two that I kind of like the most are who killed JFK?
Okay. Yeah.
So was it an inside job? There's a lot of people that believe that it was an inside job.
Right.
And the other one is that the moon landing was fake.
Those are two very good classic conspiracy theories.
Yeah. And the reason being is that there is really good solid motivation for the conspiracy. Like you look at a lot of conspiracy theories and it's like, okay, all of this stuff is built really well, but what's missing is the motive to go through all these steps. What is the payoff for the individuals performing whatever the conspiracy is? But if the FBI viewed JFK as a threat, they would absolutely go through some crazy stuff to get him out of there if they thought he was going to destroy that department. That's just the way the government is. You're not going to get away with attacking these alphabet agencies. And the moon landing, the payoff is the United States and capitalism is better than communism, and you were literally in the Cold War and you had to beat Russia in space. Mm-hmm. So faking it if you had to makes a lot of sense. Now, the risk versus reward, I mean, that is a huge risk because if it gets found out, you know, yeah, then you lose all credibility on the world stage and you might lose.
Do you think it would have been, you're talking about basically the same time period, the 60s.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been easier to pull off a conspiracy theory in the 60s than it would be today?
Like today after 2020? Yeah, absolutely.
And not even because I think the obvious answer to that question is yes, because of the amount of media and everybody's, yeah, got a phone and, you know, the amount of talking and communication we have is much, much more broad,
yeah,
but and deep. But the fact that the country was more on the same page,
yeah,
you kind of would just believe the official narrative.
Common
more.
Cause. You didn't really have a reason not to believe.
Yeah.
The news, like the news media was reporting what we would believe to be facts. For the most part, they were. And they had,
they were more trustworthy.
They hadn't ruined their credibility.
Yeah.
You pointed out the access to more information and,
yeah,
stuff like that, but also the common goal. Like, it was pretty universal in the United States that Russia, you know, the USSR, bad, communism, bad, we
and,
need
yeah,
to defeat
and, like,
it.
Yeah, and, like, patriotism ruled the land.
Yes.
We're better than X country, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we were right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Mine, I wish I would have... A couple years ago, I dove into this one. And I had great information at the time. What I'm going to say now, you're going to go, well, that's stupid. But if you really like look into it, it's pretty interesting. The idea that Antarctica has like had inhabitants at some time, that conspiracy theory fascinates me because it would imply that that continent has moved in a much more recent time period than Pangaea would have been. Because if they can find tools or
that global temperatures were higher.
That's the other one. Yeah. And the reason, and again, this is where I'm like, oh, I wish I would have looked into this more recently, but they have maps from somebody in like the 1100s that place Antarctica a little differently than it would be now. And you're like, oh, well, it's the 1100s. Of course they're, yeah, going to be wrong. Except that he got Antarctica, like the coastline, down to the detail that we know it now. But if it were covered in ice, he wouldn't have been able to do that in that time period. So there's something there that I'm like, that's really interesting. I don't know what to do with it.
Or it could be a fake map.
Well, no, I think they've verified the map. They don't know exactly if it was between this time and this time, but they know it would have been like pre-1200 or something because of when where it was and where they found it. But yeah, I mean, it was, even if you're in the 1500s, to get the exact coastline of Antarctica the way that we can only do it basically with like satellites now and with infrared, because it's covered in ice. Like, there's no way you'd know the actual boundaries of the continent. So that one is one that I'm like, oh, I need to look back into that, because it was pretty interesting when I was watching it.
I got one here from Russell.
Okay.
Russell wants to know, what was the toughest age when you were growing up?
That's a good question. And I have a very distinct answer. It was seventh grade. I don't know how old I was in seventh grade, but I do remember. So for me, sixth grade was the last of my grade school years.
12 to 13 age.
Yeah, right there. And then seventh grade was junior high.
Yeah.
Where you go from being big fish, small pond, to everybody's beating me up. And I was also little. I was kind of my birthday's in September. Now I would be the oldest in that class, but at the time I was the youngest, and so I was always the youngest in the class. So I was always on the small side, even though I'm not small. Like, I was always a little behind everybody else in growth. And so seventh grade, man, it was like, that was the time that if you were a JA, I'm not going to say it, you ruled the roost in seventh grade, man. If you were like just some punk dude and you could throw a punch, you were the king of the hill.
You know what's funny about that? In substitute teaching both junior high and senior high, you would sit there and watch these punks in junior high going, oh, you guys think that you're great.
I love it.
Next year, you're going to eat. And then I would come back next year and just kind of giggle at them. But O'Fallon's a little different, because O'Fallon has a freshman campus. So they got an extra year of being that big fish in the small pond.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't get their reality check until their sophomore year. But for me, the toughest ages was probably 15, 16, and 17. Most of my high school years were really bad. Didn't enjoy it. Didn't have a good time in high school. It was kind of cool to get my driver's license. That was kind of a moment of freedom, and I could just go do my own thing and just go drive my car. And I was happy to do that. And then gas prices started going up. So even then I couldn't really do it, because you worked at Taco Bell, so you didn't have a lot of money.
Oh man. I remember it was sometime in the mid 90s. So I would have been probably 96, 97 when I got my license. Gas had bottomed out at 68 cents a gallon. 68 cents. It wasn't long after that it was double that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, politically I was like engaged, but not enough to really know.
Yeah.
So, but I knew Clinton was in office, and I knew something had happened, that gas prices had dropped and then went way up.
I remember gas prices really skyrocketing in 2001 after September 11th. Not specifically as price gouging, but a big jump. And I remember saying, I'll never pay $2 a gallon for gas.
I know.
What I would give for that.
I remember saying that during the last part of George W. Bush, early part of Obama, saying, no, I will never pay over $4 for a gallon of gas. You can still, in Missouri, get by with that. If you're in where we're at in Illinois, it's harder, but you can.
I got one here from Sean. Sean wants to know, this is a financial one, what is the most you will pay for new shoes?
Ooh, good question.
And he said athletic and dress.
For myself, it would be about $60. But we just got back from a vacation where there was some crazy Japanese shoe shop that my wife was like, oh, I got to visit this place because you can buy the shoes online. And we went in person, and they were a lot cheaper there, but they were still probably $100. That's the most I've ever spent on shoes.
So,
I'm 60.
Ethan in the private chat said $175 is the most he'd spend on shoes.
Holy smokes, Ethan.
Yeah.
I want your job.
You need to come in here and tell us what you bought with those.
Yeah.
But for me, I'll spend a lot on tennis shoes because I wear tennis shoes a lot. I have bad knees. I have fallen arches. So to me, having a good pair of tennis shoes is worth the money to spend on them. I don't spend as much on dress shoes because I don't wear them as much, and they're never comfortable. It doesn't matter how much money you spend on it. You know, the soles are just hard, and it's not designed to make your feet comfortable. It's designed to make you look good with whatever outfit you're wearing.
He came in just like this.
Listen, guys, there's just something about a pair of shoes that, listen, I get the more seasoned you get in life, the more necessary it is, right, to have a pair that really, like, feels good, fits well, is going to be durable. At my age, though, it's all about the looks. And the looks, they cost money. So, you know, sometimes you have to be willing to spend a little bit more to have the trendy looking shoe. So,
Ethan, do people really care? Do people look at your shoes? Is it a status symbol?
You would be surprised how often
I get
compliments on some of the shoes I wear.
Really?
Yes.
I actually sent Ethan a compliment on a Cardinals manager's shoes. Ollie Marmol.
Oh, you did? Yeah, he did. He did.
Ollie Marmol's shoe game is on point.
Well, I will say this. I think that the shoe is what completes an outfit.
It definitely can.
What did you say to me yesterday, Brad?
You got the full kit, full fit.
Now, you weren't specifically looking at my shoes.
It was the socks.
But I think that it is the factor that can complete the outfit.
I just want to make it very well known that these conversations that are happening off air, I am not a part of them. So you guys are all complimenting each other on each other's looks apparently a lot, and I'm not there.
Well, Ryan, we would compliment you on yours.
No. For what? You wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
I like your dark green Under Armour hat.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That Cardinals hat that you wear with the sweat stain on it, amazing.
Yeah, you know what? You guys, this show is basically designed to take a dump on me every single day. And I just accept that role. You know, I thought that hosting, I might be able to get away from it, but I guess the answer is no.
Nope. No shot. It was worth a shot. At least you had the hope and the faith that maybe that would happen.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in the studio, Ethan.
I was summoned.
He's like, thanks for coming. Now get out, you jerk.
You can stay. I like Ethan. He doesn't dump on me as much as you guys do. Hey, although today's different.
It's a pretty rare
let's
thing.
Well, let's
like
make this next question about you, and this one's from Kurt. Kurt wants to know, Ryan, how much time did you spend writing The Life of Human?
Thanks, Kurt. 12 years.
You really?
Yeah. Holy. I spent 12 years. I mean, it's a novel, you know, it's something I was doing in my spare time. So, boy, I'll tell you what's hard, though. Because it's written from 9 different characters' point of views, it's all about this robot that kind of saves the world from other errant robots. I'd have to come back to it and like really gear myself up to get into that character's head again, because I would take like months at a time off from writing it. Spoiler, I'm working on another one hopefully by the end of the year.
Oh, that'll be fun.
What was the waves of working? Because obviously like you said, it was on the side. So it wasn't just 12 straight years of, all right, I'm going to work on it from 5 to 8 every night. Like what was like
I think I started in 2008 writing it. And one of the characters was actually based on Hillary Clinton's failed presidential run.
That's brilliant.
You'll know which one it is if you read it.
Name's Hillary.
And her name's Hillary Sear Clinton.
Nice. Good one.
she's very veiled reference. But if you read the first 4 chapters, I think I did within the first year.
Uh-huh.
And then I did chapter 5 and 6 for like 5 and 6 years.
Sure.
And then came back and was like, doggone it, I wrote half of a novel. I'm going to finish this thing.
Did you finish it during COVID?
And I finished it just probably right at the end of COVID. That was more the editing process. Okay. I had been done. But yeah, I released it in 2021. So working on another one.
I'll tell you what, and I know we were joking earlier about people crapping on you on the show, but I really think that The Life of Human would make a really entertaining series, a mini series on like a Netflix or a Hulu or something, if they would pick it up and actually produce it really well. I think it could be a really good story because, like you said, it's from 9 different perspectives, but the whole story is
cohesive, right?
Yeah, and it's weaved together. I think that it has to be, like, you don't write this as a serious one. You write this as a comedy.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what the right word is.
Well, because some of the characters are comedic, but other ones are really serious.
Yes.
And like there's one that's very much an analyst. And so each character is almost like a different genre of book. But they're all telling the same story.
A series of books or of like, are you saying into movies?
Like movies. And so Wrecker talked about this, like how AI is going along where you could just plug something in and then it would make it. And it's like, I want to see this in that format so bad that if that AI technology worked, I would plug that book in and be like,
Make a movie.
Well, yeah, give me a miniseries about
this. You just
missed
your chance to ask T.J. Miller if he would star in it. So, I mean, you had a shot.
Look, I'll run out to the parking lot and beg. Hashtag Netflix this segment. Because we want some top-level executives checking out what's going on here in crazy St. Louis. You got another one?
I got one more. And it's from Bobo Farms here. Bobo Farms wants to know, are you an adventurous eater? What's the weirdest food you've tried?
Well, I just went to Japan and I tried sea urchin when I was there.
Oh.
And I can't remember. We ate so many different weird things. Sea urchin was either really chewy and terrible, or it was one of the better things that I had. Because you look at a plate and you're like, I don't really know what's what.
Does it just all get mixed up? Yeah, it's all so weird?
Well, a lot of it is. I mean, a lot of the sushi I recognized, but there would be other things that I don't remember. So I ate sea urchin, and I actually don't even know what that is. I've heard the words.
Sea urchin is?
Yeah, it's like a little spiky ball that...
Okay, then I think that was the spongy, chewy thing.
You'd have to like pop it open and get the inside.
Maybe the juicy innards were pretty good. I don't remember. Ethan?
Wait, hold on. Are you asking me to comment? Are you asking me
on spongy, juicy innards?
Are you a fan? Sea urchin or on weirdest foods? It's my show. Got it. Okay, cool. Well, I've never tried the juicy innards of a sea urchin, as delightful as that does sound.
What about weird foods?
I don't really have any off the top of my head. I guess I'm a pretty boring guy when it comes to food. You know,
I
put so much of it into the shoes and the creativity with the shoes and the outfits that I just, there's not much left to
food. Oh, yeah. Hey,
food.
Let's go eat some foie gras. No, I just bought Air Jordans.
Exactly. You got it. You're the other way around.
I'm starving,
yeah.
But I look good.
You're wearing the green Under Armour hat. Yeah.
The weirdest food I've ever had was that egg that you brought back from Japan. What you say it was cooked in sulfur on a volcano or something like that?
Wait, you actually tried that?
Yeah, I did.
He did.
Yeah, so the egg itself is black. But what was weird is it just tasted smoked.
So they were quail eggs. You could eat regular chicken's eggs when you were there, but the ones you took home were quail eggs because they're littler, and they're packaged each individually, and they're cooked in sulfur, so they're black. So really, they just tasted like...
What does cooking them in sulfur do?
It just makes it black, and it's a novelty. I don't think it changes the taste of it a lot, especially a chicken's egg, because you peel the black part off.
I mean, that definitely had a unique flavor, because it was like almost like you... Like, you know you can put anything on a smoker and smoke it?
Yeah.
It tasted smoked. It was smoked.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I could argue that the weirdest foods I've tried is because of the Annie Fry Show. We had the weird flavored Kit Kats.
Yeah.
And I know that's not that crazy.
Well, it's all because of me.
Yeah. And then what was the other one? Oh, the spicy gummy bears. Like, I had never done anything like that either.
Listen, as we go to break right now, I'm going to give you the rest of that Dr. Pepper creamy coconut that I'm drinking right now.
Oh, God.
Go ahead. Apparently, Hannah, formerly of the Annie Fry Show, currently of Y98, told us today, she just came in my office and she's like, oh, you got Dr. Pepper creamy coconut. Have you ever tried a dirty Dr. Pepper? And I'm like, is that a real thing? Are you setting me up? Still don't know. But she says you can go to places like Sonic and order a dirty Dr. Pepper and they'll know exactly what you're asking for. And it's half cream, half soda with some flavoring in it.
Coconut and lime.
It's an alcoholic version of Dr. Pepper.
That's what I thought. I'm like, it sounds like an alcohol. She said, no, that's a hard Dr. Pepper. She said, this is a dirty Dr. Pepper.
Get your terminology.
So, I don't know. Maybe this weekend I'll catch you up on Monday. All right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Break. We'll be right back. More Annie Fry Show. Y'all ready? Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range filling in for Annie. She'll be back on Monday. It's been a fun week. She was here for part of the week, but she'll be back. And she's posting. Have we posted any of those pictures that she sent of Washington, D.C.?
A few of them. A few of them. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're giving photo scavenger hunt ideas to Annie. And what we will then do is we'll take, once Annie sends me the pictures, I'll post those pictures on the YouTube channel. And if you're following, you got notifications on, you should be able to see it. If you want to just go look at them, if you go to Annie's YouTube channel, underneath the community tab, they'll all be there as posts. And we give you a shout out. If you're the one that requested that photo, we put your name on it and the description of the photo. It's pretty cool.
Mine was give a beer to Brett Kavanaugh, but she hasn't done that yet.
I haven't seen that one yet. That doesn't mean she isn't trying.
Yeah, she better try
harder. We did get the picture of the fire alarm in the Capitol, though.
Yeah, Jamal Bowman's fire alarm, do we know? Confirmation?
I can't confirm or deny.
It was just a fire alarm?
But looking at the way the fire alarms are in the Capitol, that dude is full of crap. He didn't think that would open the door. It's got like a plastic shield over it.
It's one of the best lies possible.
It's like, I totally thought that
I thought that would open the door.
I was in a hurry trying to get there.
I was just running late. I tried to open the door and hit the fire alarm. Everybody does that. Come on. Give me a break. Come on, man. This story is related to, so May? So I'm starting to plan. I don't know how far ahead you plan vacations, but I look way ahead. And I say that, but then I'm planning one for September. So I don't know if that's way ahead or not. But
what do you consider planning? Because that affects my answer. Well, it usually starts with, we should go on vacation. And that's several months out.
So looking at flights and places to stay.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's where we're at right now.
Okay.
And we have a group of guys every September, October. I miss a couple days from the Annie Fry Show because me and some old friends visit usually one of the other friends, because not all of us live here anymore. This year, we decided that we're all just going to fly. We pick airport hubs so we can get cheap flights. For this one is Denver, because that's an airport hub. So we're like, hey, we can all fly there for pretty cheap. So we're talking about going there in September. And as we've been planning that trip and just kind of texting, I probably have 15 texts on my phone right now because we're all trying to plan it together. One of them goes, hey, you know, let's try to avoid the migrant camp. And I said, how did I miss this? Is there something in the news about a migrant camp in Denver? Because I hadn't heard anything. So I looked it up. Indeed, there is a big story happening in Denver involving migrants that you might even call an insurrection.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this?
So I saw some stuff about migrants making some demands.
And I said, after reading it, why don't we stay with them? Because they are making unbelievable demands. Like, picture yourself going and squatting in some other country. You yourself.
Yeah.
Going to any country in the world. And then telling the government and the media of that country, now here's what you're going to do for me.
Listen here, you jerks. You're not being nice enough to me.
So regardless of what you think about this issue, although I think the vast majority of America is on the same side of this issue, that we should have a border, this is crazy. So these Denver migrants, and by the way, we're supposed to call them migrants now, I think, because illegal immigrant or even immigrant, apparently.
I thought they were guests.
They're guests or newcomers. You can do a lot of things. But if you're the president of the United States and it's the State of the Union, you slip up and you say illegal immigrant. Whoops. How offensive. Sorry. So these migrants refuse to leave this encampment. So first of all, they're making an illegal encampment and they're all over the place. And it's not like desirable areas. They're living under bridges, but they've just made this into an area that you're like, is this a homeless camp? I don't know. Like, every city's got something that looks like this at this point. This one's just really big. And people are at this homeless migrant, whatever, encampment in Denver. And their details are as such. Migrants will get to, quote, cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city instead of pre-made meals. This is a quote. This isn't like somebody paraphrasing that they said, can you please bring us, you know, rice and beans?
Yeah.
This is their own quote. I don't know, do these illegal immigrants have a press agent? Somebody who speaks on their behalf?
You said their foods, what kind of foods?
It says culturally appropriate
culturally
ingredients.
Culturally appropriate ingredients. Now, these are migrants from basically all over the world.
I don't know where they're from.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, are they demanding that we go through this camp and figure out what ingredients do you need to make your culturally appropriate foods?
They were kind enough to tell us.
Oh, God.
They were kind enough to tell us what these ingredients were. Culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city. Instead of pre-made meals, they're already getting meals from the city. And they're like, it's not good enough. We need fresh ingredients, and we need them to be culturally appropriate. Can you believe that? I want to make jokes about this, but there is a part of my brain that will not allow it.
Yeah, well, this isn't funny.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
You little ungrateful.
Okay, here's the ingredients, though. Rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. That's the quote. That's what they want. They also didn't stop there, though. If that was it, you'd go, seems like a lot. The next one was, also, we need shower access available without time limits. And this is quoted. This is, I don't know, who's quoting this? I don't know. And the showers need to be accessed whenever. We also need medical professional visits that will happen regularly and referrals/connections for specialty care that will be made as needed. We also want, here's again the quote, connection to employment support. You're here illegally. Connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify, as well as consultations for each person/family with a free immigration lawyer.
Josh from our chat is all over this one. He said, I bet they have some activists and or lawyers drafting this stuff for them. This sounds like some entitled American stuff, not immigrant language.
Josh, I think you might be right. This is amazing. But I will say that as me and my buddies plan our trip to Denver, and, you know, we're trying to penny pinch. Mm-hmm. Like I said,
yeah,
we're going to a place that's just an airport hub because we know we can get like a $200 flight. So I don't know that we're going to be doing anything like really extravagant. So maybe we could save money by booking somewhere like in this. Like maybe we could pay to live within, because it sounds like we'd have showers. We'd have fresh ingredients for food. I mean, I make a joke here because this is so absurd that we've gotten to the point. It worries me the entitlement that we're doing this. This isn't them doing this.
I get to the, I think, like, to Josh's point, I think that we're at the point where the actual activists care more about the cause than the people that are being affected by the cause.
They just want to
win.
The
people that they're being activists for. They care more about this stuff than they do. These people, if they are truly asylum seekers, get here and they go, hey, I'm just happy to be here in the United States, you know, away from the danger or whatever that I was in. And these are like, no, they need culturally appropriate food.
But Brad, if we're pushing this kind of entitlement mindset onto these people,
mm-hmm.
which we are.
We are now, yeah.
Then what happens when they don't get what they want? That is a scary question, Brad.
Yeah.
What happens if we make them feel entitled and then they don't get the things that they think they deserve? There's a lot of people here illegally who have nothing to lose. It makes you a little bit concerned for safety.
And they don't know that this isn't the way it is in the United States. These are people from outside the United States. And if we set that expectation for them, they're going to expect it to be like, this is the minimum for people here.
And look, if I was living in poverty, I would absolutely do this. Part of me doesn't blame them. But Josh is right. This does not sound like migrants speaking up. This is a bunch of American liberal activists drafting demands. All right, we're at the end of the 2 o'clock hour, which means we have one more to go. X's and O's is, we're at the end of the 1 o'clock hour. Thank you, Brad. X's and O's is next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take Yada Yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.